Just before I start here, somebody, one of you children, I think, was must have been listening to the children's lessons a couple of Sundays ago, two Sundays ago, I think it was, about encouraging your ministers. I found a note in the mailbox back there that said something about, "I'm glad you're my minister, John," or something like that. So thank you, whoever that was. There's no name to it. And thanks for hearing the lesson and doing something about it. It's a blessing. Turn to Psalm 23 for the message this morning. Psalm 23. I'll just read this morning. Very familiar psalm to us. I've just titled this, "Shepherding Like Our Shepherd." "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest mine head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Sometimes those words are so familiar to us, I think we miss the depth of the meaning of those words. But those are powerful words that we just read. Instead of having our children continue studying French this year for their school, we decided to switch to Spanish this year. And since there's more Spanish speakers around than there are French, we just had a little, they didn't have much opportunity to practice their French. And so Spanish comes a little easier anyhow. So this year for their school, we were having them learn some Spanish. This about 2 weeks ago or so, and I've been trying to learn a little bit with them as well. I'm not too good at it, but I'm trying to pick up what I can. And so about 2 weeks ago or so, I thought, you know, just to get familiar with the sounds of Spanish, I'm just going to pick a familiar passage of the Bible, and I'll listen to that passage on my way to work every morning in Spanish, and just to get used to the sounds and the words and just to familiarize myself with the Bible. So I chose Psalm 23. And the first verse of Psalm 23, it says, "Jehovah es mi pastor, nada mi fatra." And that just stuck in my brain. And I would go to work, and I could just go in through my mind. You know, I'd listen to the way of the work, and then those first words just stuck in my mind over and over. "Jehovah es mi pastor." Jehovah is my pastor. I don't know, it's the same thing, the same word as shepherd, but something about it, just hearing it in a different thought, there's something, it just gives you, awakens something new, and "Jehovah is my pastor, nothing will be missing," would be a back translation from Spanish. Anyhow, so I couldn't get that out of my head the past 2 weeks. I've been chewing and chewing on that phrase, "Jehovah is my pastor, nothing will be missing." But that amazing truth that Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal God, is my pastor, is an amazing truth that I don't know if I've ever really just meditated on much before. And so the few thoughts I have here this morning come from some of those meditations the last few 2 weeks of God is my pastor, Jehovah is my pastor. And also from a deep longing to be a faithful pastor myself. I need role models. I need a vision. I don't know how y'all are. I just don't do well when I'm trying to figure out something of my own. But when I see something, somebody else doing it, and I can copy them, it just goes a lot easier. Well, God is our pastor. He's the good shepherd. And so there's no better one to learn from than the chief shepherd himself. And Azariah, you think it was you that mentioned to me a couple weeks ago, you mentioned Psalm 23 as the beautiful description of the perfect pastor. The Lord is my shepherd. So that's where some of these meditations come from this morning. I've just titled it Shepherding Like Our Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we will come back to that passage a little bit later on. You know, as elders of the congregation here, we're called to shepherd. 1 Peter 5 says, the elders that are among you, I exhort, feed the flock of God. It likens it to a flock, to a shepherd. Our responsibility is to feed, to shepherd. It says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, so there's the chief shepherd, and then there's under-shepherds who are also to shepherd, to feed, to guide, but to do the work of a shepherd. So I think that's pretty clear to all of us here, and elders are supposed to shepherd the flock. All of you who are parents are also called to shepherd. In Ephesians 6, the fathers are exhorted. It said, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's some shepherding that happens there, and as fathers in the home, that needs to happen. And as mothers, joining together with your husband, shepherding the home. And in a sense, all of us, as we sang in that song, if you caught in that song we sang, all of us have a responsibility to shepherd each other in a sense. We're to exhort one another daily while it's called today. There's a care that we need to have for each other as in the body of Christ to help each other follow the chief shepherd. Now, none of us can fill the role of the great shepherd. There is only one great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us can fill that role. We can't be the Lord who is my shepherd, as in Psalm 23 says. But as I asked myself the question when I read over this psalm and was meditating on it, shouldn't those in our care, whether they be as in our care as elders or as fathers or as mothers or as employers, or as teachers, you know, people that are in our care, shouldn't those who are in our care see the chief shepherd reflected in our shepherding? Shouldn't there be some reflection of that in how we care for them? Can our children say, yeah, Dad makes me lie down in green pastures. Mom leads me beside the still waters. When Mom comes around, there's just a calmness and there's just a refreshing thirst quenching of my soul that happened when Mom comes around. That talk with Brother Stephen restored my soul. It was what I needed to set me back on the path again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Shouldn't some of that reflection of the chief shepherd be happening for those of us who have others under our care? So that's a little bit where this is birthed out of. And so I want to some of these are just studies that I did, just a little few thoughts on shepherding like our shepherd. What are some things we can learn from the chief shepherd that should inspire us to shepherd that same way? And it goes for all of us. I know some of you may be saying, well, I don't have anybody in my care. Well, you have friends, there's folks in the church you're responsible to, and the same shepherding kind of thing applies. But especially to those of us who, obviously, Brother Stephen and I have a shepherding responsibility, but then as fathers and mothers especially, if we can catch the burden to shepherd like the Lord Jesus Christ does. Why do we need shepherds? Why can't we just all do our own thing, you know? Why do we need shepherds? How does a shepherd function? What is his role as a shepherd? What is a heart of a shepherd like? There are some questions that come to my mind as I ponder this. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, we in America, at least on the eastern side of America, are pretty disconnected with the life of a shepherd. You know, as farmers, we just don't shepherd. We just put up if we want to get some animals, we just put up a good, strong fence and to keep the animals in the fence, and we come and check on them every once in a while to make sure the animals are doing okay. And if one of them happened to get out of the fence, we come back and get a stronger fence or up the voltage on the electric fence to give them a little bigger zap so they stay in the fence. And then we check on them and we go our merry way and go do what we want to do. That's a whole different concept than shepherding. In West Africa, there's still shepherds there where we live there. That's what they did for a living, was shepherds, and most of them were Fulanis. Y'all have heard me talk about some of them. They were the nomadic cattle herders, but they would also shepherd for other people as a job. And a shepherd's life was his life. A shepherd couldn't just go to market when he wanted to go to the market. He couldn't just do what he wanted to do. Shepherding was his life. It was a night and day job. And you'd see them out there often. And I wanted to go join him for a couple of days. It actually looked a little bit of appealing. I thought it would be kind of fun to just do that for a while, go follow sheep and cows around through the bush. But there was no fences around anywhere. And so these cattle herders or these sheep herders, the shepherds, had to take care of the cows. And the Fulani said cows mostly there. There were some that did sheep as well. But they'd have their little place outside of the village where they kept all the animals at night. And when morning came, there was their job to take that whole herd of animals and go find green grass for them. And sometimes they'd have to walk for several miles. And you'd meet them in the middle of nowhere. All of a sudden, here comes this herd of 50 to 100 cows comes marching through the woods, and here's a couple shepherds right beside him and walking beside him. The shepherds always carried a stick with them. I just brought this with me. And you'd see them walking through, you know, watching their cows like this. They're just walking through, you know, got about 50 cows over there and marching, just walking, watching. And then a cow would get off like they do, and they'd throw that stick over there and back the cow back in line, and they'd go back again and just walking all day. That was their day. They'd spent watching the cows, just watching, you know. And sometimes they'd come to a good pasture, and they'd sit there. You'd come up on a herd of cows. Sometimes there'd be 100 cows, and you wouldn't see anybody around. No fences, and they're just, it was. I mean, anybody could just come get the cow they wanted. But if you walked up to those cows, I mean, within, you didn't get too close, and all of a sudden here came one of those Fulanis out with a, yeah, what do you want? You know, they're checking you out. What are you doing over here? They're taking care of their cows. They were shepherds. But night or day, rain or shine, you know, if it poured down rain too much, they'd be out there, you know, watching the cows, maybe holding a leaf over their head or something. That was their job, rain or shine, taking care of their flock. It was a full-time job for them. As you can imagine, you know, herding cattle is not, or sheep, it's just, they were constantly watching. There's just a tendency, the cows got out into the brush, and they just kind of have a tendency to, you know, separate from each other. And they'd go around, and every so often they'd go around and chase them all back in together again, and call, you know, with their sticks, and they'd keep them together. And they go down, and then they'd take them down to the river later on in the afternoon for some water, and then back home again in the evenings. And then at nighttime, they often had a few cows with bells on them, and they would tie those cows up. And that kind of, those were the lead cows, and that kind of kept everything together for the night. But they often slept. They had a little canopy they make with out of corn husks and things to a very temporary shelter, but it's got open on the bottom where they could still watch the cows a bit, and they'd sleep right there. The cows are right out there, and they could tell immediately if something got into the cows during the night. They were shepherds. It's a whole different concept than us. I mean, a farmer doing that, we'd say, come on, just get up a fence. But that's the life of a shepherd. It's a full-time, 24-hour-a-day job. It was a full-time job that required constant vigilance, constant unselfishness, and endurance, the life of a shepherd. If a shepherd fell asleep, you know those lazy days out there where the sun's just shining and the cows are grazing and munching, you know, if he fell asleep and they wandered off and got into somebody's cornfield, it wasn't the cows that got beat. That was usually a pretty scared Fulani boy showing up at the chief's palace knowing what was coming. He let the cows get into somebody's field and he had it coming. It was a full-time job. It required vigilance. It required unselfishness and endurance. There was also a lot of blessings to them. I wanted to be able to go with them sometime just because it looks so nostalgic in a way. You know, they're just watching the cows. And when everything was going smooth, they'd make little flutes. I don't know how they made them. Either corn stalks, I think it was. And you'd hear them, you know, three or four of them would all be herding cattle together. And they'd be out there, you'd hear them tooting on their flutes, you know, playing little things while their cows are grazing and just kind of relaxing. But not so relaxing when you see all them get into a cornfield and they have somebody chasing them and they're trying to chase the cows and they're trying to get everything back together again. That's shepherding. Do you get that? The description of a shepherd. I think that's much more closer to what the Bible would have, the description of a shepherd. And we have descriptions in the Bible as well. We have Jacob there who for years served as a shepherd, and he took, as a shepherd, he bore the loss of Laban's flock. He took it on himself, and he... night and day he was out there with the sheep. So why do we need shepherds? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Why do we need shepherds? And God has called us to be shepherds. Perhaps not all of us, but especially as parents, fathers and mothers. So if you're not a parent yet, or you're, maybe God will call you to be one day. And this is the heart that we need to carry as shepherds. But Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 5, and it says, "And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." There's a need for shepherds in 2021. There's a need for men and women who have the heart of a shepherd. If there is no shepherd, the sheep scatter. It's just how it is. And they become meat to the beasts of the field. If there's no faithful shepherds, the flock doesn't stay together. And they begin to wander around aimlessly, not knowing where they're going, and are vulnerable to all kinds of evil and destruction. There's a real need for unselfish shepherds who genuinely care for the flock. And again, I'm saying this, brothers, I'm studying into this because I wanted to get a revision. Renew my heart for, I need this example of our Lord. But there's a need for unselfish shepherds who 24 hours a day are vigilant and on guard and are watching what's happening. And this is for you fathers and mothers as well. You're watching what is going on. You're aware of what's happening. And you endure, rain or shine, keeping the flock together. So what are some characteristics of a good shepherd? What are some things that we can learn from a good shepherd? What is he like? What does he do? What is a good shepherd? So go to John chapter 10, and we'll just look at that. When there was a Fulani he wasn't a good shepherd, he usually didn't last long. He got kicked out of town and he'd have to run. A good shepherd made all the difference in the world as far as for the people's wealth and their animals and things. But what is a good shepherd like? In John chapter 10, let's just read down through verse 16. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." He begins this after the Pharisees question him for healing that blind man on the Sabbath day, and they this man is not of God, because how can he heal on the Sabbath day? So that's the context that says that. "He that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. Any stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." So let's go through this passage a bit. And again, as we go through, just think about, what is a good shepherd? I, as a father, am called to be a shepherd. I, as a mother, am responsible for the children, the children that are under my care. What is a good shepherd like? What are some characteristics of a good shepherd? Well, let's go in verse 1 and 2. We notice that a good shepherd always comes to get his sheep through the door. He doesn't climb up some other way. He's not a sneaky fella. When he comes to get his sheep at the fold in the morning to take them out to green pastures, he comes in an honest and an open way. There's no hidden motives, no sneakiness about him. He's not subversive or undermining. Thieves are that way, right? They come in over the wall. They go around the door because they're afraid they're going to meet somebody there. And if somebody comes to you and they're promising all kinds of green pastures and good water, but they don't come through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his authority and his reign, if they come in some other way, they're a thief and a robber. They're not out for your good. A good shepherd will always come through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets his authority from him, and he points everyone back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes through the door. He's not a sneaky individual. The second thing we notice here about this good shepherd is that he has a personal, a filial-like connection with the sheep, almost a parent-child relationship with the sheep. He knows his sheep. In verse 3, you see, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You see a deep, a personal connection with the sheep, with those in his care. He knows them all by name. A good shepherd has that connection with those that are in his care. There's a verse in Isaiah 40, verse 11. It says, "He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." You see that connection of the shepherd with his sheep. A gentleness, an observing what's going on. And a mother that just had a lamb is going to be a little weaker, but they still got to move on for pasture, you know. And so pick up the lamb and gently lead that mother along. A good shepherd has that connection with his sheep. And I think all of us have seen and known that. You go to a congregation where the pastor, especially when there's a good connection between the pastor and the children in the congregation, there's free flowing. You know there's a future for that church. It should be for all of it, but I think it shows up more in the children. There's just something good about that wholesome connection. Same with fathers and mothers. But the good pastor, a good shepherd, he has a personal connection with each of his sheep. He knows them by name, and he calls them out, and they hear his voice, and they like to hear it, and they come follow him. In verse 4, we find that the good shepherd, he leads by example. He goes before them, it says, and the sheep follow him. So a good shepherd will lead by example. He goes out and says, "This is the way, let's come this way. Now, this is what works good. This is where there's good water over here." He goes before the sheep, and the sheep follow him. There's some trust there. I don't know, we haven't had sheep that long at home, but it doesn't take too long to find out that it's pretty easy to, it's a whole lot easier to lead the sheep than it is to chase them. That's about the only way I can catch them. I'm not a very good shepherd. But, you know, I get them to follow me, and then they get close enough, we have to run and catch them. Otherwise, I can't, as soon as, they'll be all gathered around you, the sheep, they all look so friendly and calm, but the minute you try to move towards one and catch it, they're gone. You just can't chase them. I mean, you try to chase them, and then the whole thing just scatters. And sheep are like that. They follow best when they have a good example. A good shepherd goes before his sheep, and they follow him. A good shepherd, and drop down to verse 10, a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." He lays down his life. He risks his life for the well-being of those in his care. A good shepherd does. I don't find anything in this passage about Christ's example of being a shepherd of any kind of selfish desires on his part. He wasn't trying to make money off of the disciples. He wasn't trying to get a name and fame and glory. The good shepherd cares for the life of his sheep. You know, we find that, I'll come to that a little later, but he lays down his desires, the shepherd does, but for the well-being of his sheep. His life is actually dictated largely by the sheep. And if the sheep are doing well, you know, then he can take them further on to better green pastures. If they're being sickly, then he kind of has to keep them here and make sure he gets some food in there. And there's a little more carefully. A lot of the shepherd's life is dictated by the sheep. If they're following him and they're just walking along, they can make some good progress. If they're shooting off to the side, he has to kind of get them back in order. But he does that. He gives his life for the sheep, the good shepherd does. In verse 12 through 13, the good shepherd, a characteristic of a good shepherd is that he never runs in the face of a wolf. Somebody who's trying to make money off of the sheep, who's just a hireling, he will run when there's danger coming. But a good shepherd who cares for the sheep never runs in the face of a wolf. And you have David's example of that. I mean, a lion and a bear are coming and taking a sheep, and he goes and kills them. I don't understand that. I mean, I would be scared of a lion and a bear. But, I mean, for a sheep, Just let him have a few. Let me take the rest of them over here. You know, he can go ahead and have those five. I'll just move over and stay away from the lion next time. Not David. He had a true shepherd's heart. That's one of those lambs, and he gets over there and kills the lion and the bear. A true shepherd doesn't run in the face of danger because he cares for the sheep. Even if it's just that one lamb that that lion caught. And then dropping down to verse 16, he says, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." A good shepherd recognizes there are sheep outside of the fold that also must be brought in. He's concerned about those sheep that are outside the fold. And I think Jesus here in this statement, he's making a clear declaration to the Pharisees earlier that he's saying that he's making a clear declaration that the Gentiles are going to be brought into the fold. You know, there was the Jews, there was the Gentiles, and he's saying there's going to be one fold. And those other sheep, I need to bring those in. I think he's referring to that passage in Isaiah 56 where he talks about the stranger and those that are separated from God. When they start keeping his commandments, he said, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered to him." And so when Jesus said this, I think the Pharisees, they connected that with Isaiah 56 there. Jesus said, there are other sheep that are not of this fold, and them I'm going to bring in as well. And there's going to be one fold and one shepherd. No longer separation between Jew and Gentile. But the good shepherd is concerned, carries a concern for those other sheep that are not yet a part of the fold of God. Again, we're looking at what are the characteristics of a good shepherd. We're called to shepherd. Some of us are called to shepherd more people than others, but we're all called to be shepherds in a certain sense of shepherding each other and caring for each other. What are the characteristics of a good shepherd? Zechariah 11, verse 16. Let's turn to that. Zechariah is right before Malachi in the Old Testament. Now, if we read down in verse 16, he's describing a false shepherd. He's telling Zechariah, he said, "And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd." So he's describing the opposite of what a good shepherd should be. But we can look at it and discover what a good shepherd should be. "For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." So he's saying what the opposite is of a good shepherd. So a good shepherd, he does visit those that are cut off. Do you see that? A good shepherd does seek out the young ones. A good shepherd does heal that which is broken. A good shepherd does feed that standeth still. Now, my girls are a lot better shepherds than I are. They're the ones that take care of the sheep at home. And I've seen them already when the sheep are having an issue. They're sick with something. My girls are—they're pretty tender-hearted, and they can't stand seeing them. They're good shepherds, but often when a sheep is sick, they kind of stand off alone. And my girls will go over there with a bucket of feed, and they'll try to get some feed in its mouth, and but that doesn't work. Get some hay, you know, try some hay, trying to get the sheep to eat something. The good shepherd does those. He feeds those that are too weak to feed themselves. They're just kind of off by themselves and sickly and just not really doing it. The good shepherd sees that. And those, he feeds those that standeth still, it says. And that's what I picture, a sick little one that's out. A good shepherd feeds those that are too weak to feed themselves. A good shepherd sticks with his responsibility. We see there in verse 17, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth his flock. A good shepherd will stick to his responsibilities. You know, sometimes as fathers, it does get tough sometimes, doesn't it? And maybe I'm the only one, but there's times I feel like, you know what? Let me go herd sheep in Colorado. You know, let me just get a break from this. You know, can I just have 24 hours where I can just get away and just be alone, you know, and not have to deal with... But a faithful shepherd sticks with his responsibilities. There's nothing, I don't see anything in a shepherd's heart here of cutting off and saying, get out of here, you know, except when there's a wolf coming, and there's a bear, those things get cut off. But as far as when there's a sheep that is sickly, that's hurt, that's broken, you see a heart that brings this thing together. Let's bind this up. Let's heal this thing. Let's get this disease out of here. Let's bring some wholesomeness here. If it's standing out alone, it's sick, let's take some food to it and try to keep this thing alive. And do you catch that heart of a shepherd? A shepherd's heart. And he sticks to his responsibilities. He doesn't leave the flock when it gets tough. He sticks to it. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 34, and there's some more lessons we can learn of a good shepherd there. Again, he's pronouncing some judgment on the shepherds because they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. But I think we can get out of here what we're supposed to be doing as shepherds and how the care, the kind of heart of care that we should be having for one another. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field and they were when they were scattered. And my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, and because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. A strong warning to shepherds. But we can find some things here again. What is a good shepherd supposed to be doing? In verse 3 and 8 there we find that the shepherd is supposed to feed the flock. I mean, that seems like a pretty basic thing there, but that is our responsibility as elders and as fathers. We're supposed to feed the flock, feed those that are in our care. Good, wholesome, nourishing, godly food. However that may be, for us fathers in the home, maybe it's through the education that we give to them, the books they read, the family devotions that we have, the good food for our families. But he feeds the flock and does not feed himself of the flock. Do you see how it's what these wicked shepherds were doing? They were eating the meat from the flock. They were getting the wool from the flock, and it was all for themselves, these shepherds of Israel were. And again, I'm using this a lot of typology. I think he's referring back to the kings of Israel and all of those men that just used the nation for themselves, for their own gain. But a good shepherd doesn't use the people, the flock, those in his care for his own benefit. He's there to serve them. He's trying to be there for their benefit and their lives. He doesn't make money off of the flock. And I think it makes perfect sense to many of us here, but all these evangelists out there that are making millions of dollars off of their meetings, and they're these shepherds. They're these kind of shepherds, these false shepherds that are out making money off of the flock. It's all for their own benefit. And God says those are wicked shepherds. The true shepherd, the good shepherd, doesn't use those in his care for his own benefit. He's not a father that uses his children to make money for him and make it big, you know, and just that's, he has lots of children so they can have lots of income in his old age or whatever it is. You know, all kinds of perverted reasons that people pour themselves into other people. They're not selfish. The good shepherd feeds the flock. He gives them nourishing food, strengthens them, makes sure they're growing and prospering. He strengthens the diseased. In verse 4, he heals the sick. He binds up that which was broken. All of this is verse 4. He says he brings that which was driven away. And just prior to that passage in John chapter 10, we see Jesus doing that. You know, that blind man that he had healed, and the Pharisees came to him and said, so who healed you? How did it happen? And he can you tell us again? And they said, well, and he told them, I've already told you what happened. Do you also want to follow Jesus? And they got upset with him, and they kicked him out of the synagogue, and says Jesus went and found him. He went and found that which was driven away. That's a good shepherd. So neither have you sought that which was lost. The good shepherd looks for those that are lost. He goes out and finds them. He's not out waiting to say, well, he's lost. I'll wait till he comes and tries to find me. And he's out looking for them. There's a lost one. He's trying to find them and bring them in. He doesn't rule with force or cruelty there in verse 4. And again, I gave the example already about chasing sheep, but you just can't get sheep into anything. At least that's my experience. It's so hard to herd sheep by chasing them in or forcing them into something. They immediately start backing up and kicking, but you just get a little bit of feed and some good nourishment, and you know, they'll just follow you right in. The whole flock will just. A good shepherd doesn't lead with force and cruelty, but leads by example. So we're looking at the characteristics of a good shepherd. And these things, there's more that we could go to in Scripture, but there's in all of these descriptions of a true good shepherd, there's not a hint of selfishness. A good shepherd cares for the sheep. His life is wrapped up in the sheep largely. That's his job. That's his work. And if they're doing well, he's doing well as a shepherd. If they're sickly, it's more exhausting for him. If it's raining, he's there with them. If it's sunny, he's there with them. The life of the shepherd is centered around the sheep, the good shepherd. No hint of selfishness, only true, genuine care for the sheep. God help us to be those kind of elders and pastors. And I know I'm not that for y'all, but I needed to look into this so I can lift up a vision. This is what God wants us to be. And I think for those of you who will be pastors and elders in the future, God wants us to have that vision. That's what a good leader is. That's what a good elder is. It's what a good father is. He has that heart of a good shepherd that goes out and seeks and cares and binds up. There's not a,
either here you are or get out of here. You know, and we do it this way. You come in, force and cruelty.
There's a gentleness, a care, and he's there to help bind things up and bring things together. At the end there, Ezekiel 34, this is what a good shepherd is like. This is a description of the best shepherd. This is the chief shepherd. And we'll read down starting verse 11. It says, the Lord, it's about God being our shepherd. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. This is the description of the Lord who is my shepherd. I will both search out my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day when he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Now we as shepherds fail at times in caring for those in our care, but this shepherd never fails. And listen, as we read through this, notice the I wills, the things he says, I will do as a shepherd. This is what he'll do for all of us. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. And there shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, I will feed them with judgment. Goes on down and talks about how he'll set up one shepherd who will be of his servant David. And in verse 31 he says, and ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Jehovah is my pastor. Isn't that beautiful? Men will fail you. And as shepherds, there are times we fail. But this pastor never fails. And really, in all of our shepherding, as fathers, as mothers, as church leaders, and shepherding each other, really our main responsibility is to bring those in our care into touch with the chief shepherd, the one who never fails, the one who always binds up, the one who goes out and seeks that which was lost. Our shepherding will fall short, but if those in our care are in touch with the chief shepherd, nothing will be missing. There's no want there for them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Shepherding like our shepherd. I hope this gives us a little vision and a care, the heart of the shepherd like our Father has. I needed to study into that. I hope it's a blessing for y'all, but I needed to get fresh vision for myself. And I hope it can be an inspiration to y'all as well, to as fathers and mothers. Let's pick up the responsibility of shepherding, of caring. It's different than our farmers here in America who can just plan everything all out. You know, you put up all the fences, they always stay in the fences, and you plan out the days when you work your cattle and you have all the chutes and everything made for them. It all works out. You just, there's work to do, but it's all, you, You can't plan that way when you're a shepherd. You kind of have to work with the sheep. And God help us to have that heart of a shepherd that genuinely cares for the well-being of their flock. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for being our chief shepherd, Lord. For being the bishop of our souls, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for leading us to green pastures and beside still waters. Thank you for restoring our soul, Lord. Thank you for that rod that corrects us, comforts us, Lord, through its correction, that repents us, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, help us to do the same and to truly reflect you in our shepherding of each other, Lord, and especially us as leaders in the church and as fathers in the home. And help us, Lord, to take up the responsibility and to faithfully shepherd those in our care.